both good names, so can't go wrong. Awesome. We're going to start in prayer today. God, we thank you that you're here with us. We devote today to you. God, have your way in our hearts and our minds in whatever you want to do. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So today's message is super simple. If you should be able to catch everything very easily and very quickly. But being simple, if you actually catch this revelation, it can change your life. It can be a massive change, a massive shift in your daily life. All I want to achieve today is to increase your personal value of the Word of God. Increase your personal value on God's Word. But if you do that, today won't just be another Sunday. Today will be the Sunday that changed your life. So don't let today be just another Sunday. Let it be the Sunday that changed your life. As always, I'm going to start with a story. So one of the things that I do in my workplace is that I teach. And so part of my role is teaching and onboarding staff. And the product that we offer and sell to customers is very complicated. It's a really complicated product. And so the way that I teach the guys that are coming on board is that I teach them really basic fundamental key concepts. Right? I tell them stories about those concepts so that they remember the stories. And then all the way through the rest of the onboarding of 2 weeks, I call back to those first 3 days worth of stories and key concepts. So I'm always calling back as much as possible to those first three sort of fundamental concepts of everything that we do. So today I'm going to do that. Are you ready? We're going to rewind all the way to blackout month and see if you guys remember key concepts. Oh, yeah, I weren't ready for that. So a little bit of trivia. Here we go. Yeah, that's right. This is going to be a test. I preached a message on sexual sin, and in it, we looked at how Jesus overcame temptation from the devil in the wilderness. The devil tempted Jesus to break his fast, tempted him to test God, and to take on the worldly power that the devil had. We looked at how Jesus overcame that temptation and how we can use those tools to overcome temptation in our life, right? Overcome any temptation. Does anyone remember the key point on that message of how Jesus overcame temptation? Trivia. Nobody remembers? Not a good teacher. Great. We'll come back to that. It's okay. A ton of scripture today we're going to read out because God's word's better than mine. But hopefully by the end of it, you'll remember what it was in that Blackout Month preach. So, first scripture today. You can open your Bibles, but there's so much that I'm actually going to suggest you read it on the screen. So, first scripture today is Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. That's right, it's not Psalms. It's not Psalms. What's going on? What's wrong with you? Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures," Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, "the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Second scripture we're going to read out today is Mark chapter 14, verse 20. It says, "It is one of the 12," he replied, talking about who was going to betray him before the cross, "one who dips the bread into the bowl with me." Third scripture today is Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father," he's on the cross, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my life, commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. The fourth scripture today, John chapter 15, verse 25, says, "But this is to fulfill what is written in the law, they hated me without reason." Fifth scripture, Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, "For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Sixth scripture, Matthew 26, 64. You have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on clouds of heaven. And last, or seventh scripture, not last, long one, Matthew 22, 41 to 46 says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, he gave them a trivia question. Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Thinking that it was a king, the Pharisees respond, the son of David, the bloodline of David. And he said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day, no one dared ask him any more questions. Jesus stumped them with a trivia question. It doesn't sound like there's a pattern to all of those scriptures that I read out, but there is. Each one of them is Jesus referencing Psalms. Each one of those messages, and we're gonna unpack each psalm after it. Each one of those things that Jesus did, he called back to scripture that he already wrote. He called back to scripture to teach and to remind people of what God was doing. The first one, where Jesus had said the stone that the builders rejected, the cornerstone, is Psalm 118, verse 21 to 24. And it says, I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You've become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. The second one, Mark 14, about dipping the bread and that it was one of the 12 that was to betray him, is Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, who I shared my bread, has turned against me. The third of Luke 23, 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is Psalm 31, verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit, deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. John chapter 15, 25, they hated me without reason, is Psalm 69, verse 4. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs on my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. The fifth, Matthew 23, 39, for I tell you, you won't see me again, was Psalm 118, 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord from the house of the Lord, we bless you. Matthew 26, 64, Jesus sitting at the right hand side of the Mighty One, is Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, which is David, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet. Matthew 22, the long one that we read out, where he gives him the trivia, is later in that verse through Psalms 110. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. Speaking about Jesus' second coming. Why did Jesus use what he'd already said, what God had already written down, rather than just saying what he wanted to say? Because the word of Jesus carries the same weight as the word written. Of course, he is God. But why did Jesus use scripture? Now we're calling back to the Blackout Month message. When Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, when the devil puts in front of him bread to eat after he's fasted for 40 days, what does Jesus do? He quotes scripture. Jesus takes the word of God and uses it in powerful ways. So the first point today is that God's word has power. God's word has so much power that he spoke the world into existence. God's voice creates. His word creates. That same power, that same creating power, follows scripture. The same power. The book is not just a book full of information. It's a book full of power. The word of the creator of heaven and earth. It is not empty. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says that the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. And so we can utilize that in our lives. Jesus, God in human form, knew that, used that. So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Why do we go weeks, days, hours without reading scripture? Why do we not value the Bible like we should? Why is your streak on YouVersion Bible app not 5,000 instead of 5? Nobody's following the streaks on YouVersion Bible app? Okay. What if we catch this today? What if we really caught the concept of the Bible wasn't just a book full of information, but that the Bible was powerful because it is God's word, living, breathing word for us? What if we actually caught the concept of God wants to speak to you, so he wrote everything down for you and you've got it ready in your hands and you're ignoring it? Like, why wouldn't we take on that value? The second thing that Jesus was doing was that he was revealing the character of God in both what he'd previously said and now in living person. Jesus is referenced in John 1 as the living word of God. Now that is the most beautiful callback. The living word speaking the written word in the powerful usage of scripture in his life. Man, God's way smarter than I am as a teacher. So how does this apply to us? Firstly, it applies by speaking scripture over your life. It has power, so don't underestimate it. When it comes time and you've got things going on in your life and you're ascending, you're descending, there's good things going on, there's bad things going on, is your immediate response to try and fix it, or is your immediate response to speak scripture over your life? For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of peace and of sound mind. Do you speak the scripture over your life? The word transforms us when we use it. It changes us and moves us more into Christ's likeness, which in turn means that we live out more of scripture. So it's this awesome cycle of the more we live out scripture, the more we will want to be in scripture, and the more we become like Christ. The more we love it, the more we apply it, the more we apply it, the more we love it, the more we love it, the more we apply it. It just goes. So do you love it? Do you love God's word? I know I don't enough. Whenever we get up and preach, whether it's Jono, whether it's Reese, whether it's me, Craig, it doesn't matter. Most of the time we're preaching to ourselves. Most of the time it's, you know, get into the word, get a revelation that changes our lives. And then we get up and we go, all right, I'm going to preach that revelation, so I got to stand by it when everybody else calls me out on it, you know? So I want to love it more. I want to love Scripture more. I want my kids to wake up and find their dad in the Word. I want to be known for loving the Word of God. I want to be like Craig, who can just spit Scripture off the top of his head and remember every verse. I want to just soak it all in. Would you join me in that passion today? I want to apply it. I want to be challenged, and when I'm challenged, the first thought that comes to my head is God's word. God's powerful word. Not information, but living on the inside of me and becoming who I am. Why would you want to do that? Simply, it's a life that becomes closer and closer to God. That's the reason we were created. It is everything that we should want. A life close to God. It's the reason that God created man, was to have loving relationship with him. And it's the reason that he sent Jesus. And it's the reason that he gave us his word. God's mission. To have relationship with mankind. Secondly, it creates a life that shows that Jesus is the answer for the world. That living for God is paramount. Yesterday, over this weekend, we've had two moments of recognizing Christians. The first one was at a wedding, and they were practically all Christians, barring a couple. And we knew because it was Kelsey and Jeremiah's wedding, and when they get back, you can be a big celebration for them. But we were talking about, you know, just church, and it was easy to talk through church stuff because we were super happy to chat, and they're, you know, really connected with their churches in Adelaide, these friends, and awesome fun. But the second one was getting groceries from Woolworths, not Safeway. Don't say Safeway, it's Woolworths. Well, I was picking up the groceries on the direct to boot, you know, shop online so that you don't shop with an empty stomach and buy all the stuff. Like, that's my tip. That's my financial tip for today is... Meg has saved us a ton of money by shopping online and meal planning instead of walking through the aisles together. And I'm like, oh yeah, I want those. You know, don't do that. Anyway, so we're at the director boot, and this young man, early 20s, comes and pops in the groceries into the boot for me. And we're chatting, and he asks, "How's your weekend?" And I just like on him. He's too happy. He's too happy to be working at Safeway. He's too happy to be packing my stuff. And like, I can just see on this guy, like, you've had a great day. Like, I don't know what's going on, but this guy's happy, right? And he can see on me, like, I'm wrapped. I've just come back from a wedding. Like, it's awesome, you know, it's great fun. And he can see, and he says, "How's your weekend?" I said, "Oh, man, it was awesome. Wedding yesterday. Got a couple of assignments due, though, so a bit busy at the moment." And he goes, "What are you studying?" I said, "Oh, actually, I'm studying a diploma in ministry and theology." And he goes, "Oh, really? What church do you go to?" Straight. That was it. As soon as he asked what church, I was like, that's it. This guy's a Christian. That's why he's so happy. Young man from Doreen Baptist Church, and he's moving to Tasmania. And so I told him to get at the Rock Church where Ken's daughter's at. But you could see it on him. You could see it on him. And he said, "I've grown up at Doreen Baptist Church." I said, "Mate, hey, Baptist movement holds a massive place in my heart. Grew up at Mill Park Baptist." "Oh, awesome." You know, like, it was just, But you could see that this young man was visibly different to the rest of society. When you're doing your daily life, can people see that you're way happier than you deserve to be packing people shopping into their boot? Like, or whatever you do in your daily life? Is yours a life that stands out? Is yours a life that can stand in both the ascend season and the descend season, planted in the immovable power of God? Or do we get blown about? I said today that I only had one intent, was that you would leave today with a greater value on the Word of God. I hope that you can see, maybe from a couple of callbacks, that God values His Word and that we should too. So what do I want you to do? Two simple, really easy things. Read Scripture. Get it into your life. Read it. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. The second is speak it. Use it. Put it in your life. Use it in your life. God, we pray today that your powerful word has such a place in our hearts. God, I pray that you have so wonderfully given us the word that we may come to know you personally. And God, the word that we may grow in that revelation all throughout our lives, that we can use your scripture that you've given us, that it's not empty, that it is powerful. God, I thank you for all that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us grows in the desire to know your word, grows in our knowledge, our application, and revelation in your word. God, I prophesy today that we become a people that love your word, that long for your word in our lives, that use it, that use your daily word in our workplaces, in our homes, in introducing this awesome city to you. God, I pray. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen. Amen. Awesome.